Today's episode of Trackin' Food on the Mid-Range Podcast Network is brought to you by Scout. If you're wanting to learn more about Vancouver's food and cultural sphere with regards to community news, new restaurant openings, essential guides to some of the city's best offerings, as well as who's hiring, Scout is where you should go. You can find them at scoutmagazine.ca. That's scoutmagazine.ca. And if you're on Vancouver Island, they also have a sister website called Islandist. Same type of content, only island-driven. That's islandist.ca. We're proud to have Scout as our presenting sponsor, as we believe what they scout out is an excellent complement to what we're offering here on Trackin' Food. Do check them out. Once again, that's scoutmagazine.ca. Welcome to the Track and Food Podcast. You're joining us on a gross rainy day today here in Vancouver. My name is Jamie Ma. I'm your host as always. I just wanted to let everyone know that we did an episode yesterday with Andrew Morrison, the editor-in-chief of Scout Magazine, the magazine that I work for. Today, we're just doing another quick episode. We brought on Sean Layden and Frankie Harrington of Como Taperia because they had some big news and some stuff happening this past weekend with getting their patio open, and they were kind of desperate, so they posted something on Instagram, and then and then they got some quick responses from the city, and it looks like they're going to get their patio going. So we wanted to talk to them about that today. So we had them on, and it was a great conversation, just kind of hear their story, kind of hear the process that they went through. We wanted to get that out. And this is not a very long episode for us, so this is just kind of more of an emergency pod for us. As always, we thank you for your support. This episode will be up on Scout Magazine as well. Also, do check out our other podcast, Beats on Repeat. Mickey and Tristan have a new episode that just dropped, and they should have another new episode dropping next week as well. So do support them as well. And you can find all our content, as always, on midrangevancouver.com. And this is an episode with Frankie and Sean. We hope you enjoy it. Sean Layden and Frankie Harrington, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. How are you both doing today?
I'm doing great. This is Sean. We're happy to be on the show.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having us. It's a nice day. It's been a crazy week, but ready to get back at it here soon, hopefully.
So, if we're going to talk about that, I mean, you guys have been in the news quite a bit over the last couple of days, and I've gotten to know you gentlemen quite well over the years, and you know, Mickey, you've had Sean on here twice, and we love everything you guys do at Como, so we're very excited that you guys are, you know, starting to ramp up things. Why don't you guys talk about this whole experience? Because it, you know, you guys posted something. What was that? You guys posted that on Saturday. Was it?
Yeah, we got a phone call from the city of Vancouver on Friday evening as we were getting ramped up, busy for service. We'd been open that day, and around closer to 5 o'clock, we got a call. So, man, it was very upsetting. This is going back a couple years, but yeah, we did a post on about that Saturday morning. And then things just came in from that. We're amazed by the amount of support and reception. It's crazy.
Can you talk about like what their reasoning was in like their initial assessment? Because I think you guys have been applying for this for basically ever since you've been open. Am I correct?
Yeah. So like I said, it's two major parts to this. But initially, this is going back a couple years. But what's most important right now is that we need action. And the conversation that I had on the phone with the city was saying that they might look at it in 2 days or a few weeks, but that wasn't going to be guaranteed that we were going to get approved or, you know, even if we did, it could be a few things to do before that. So even if we did get approved in a couple of weeks, you know, working with the city is like, how long does it take after that? So right now it's not just about us. It's about everybody that's in the same situation with the city. We all need to open right now. And yeah, only 3 months of summer. Winter is coming.
Yeah, as they always say on Game of Thrones, winter is coming. I think one of the things that you guys was really poignant in what you guys in your Instagram post and pretty much all everywhere you posted it was they were pretty vague in what their reasoning was, right? That it's complicated. Is that what it was that they said?
Yeah, it's complicated. We've been trying to get answers through the city for a couple of years now. We've had lots of people working with us on this project. Neil Wheels of the Main Street BIA. We had a consultant, Lucas Holy. We had two different architects, the base building architect, and then our main architect for the build-out, plus the designers. And trying to find information as to why. They have an SRW, which is a strategic right away, in the first place. That's a deal that the developer made with the city of Vancouver when they built the building. I'm trying to find out why that was in place is impossible. So we did, however, have a meeting with Councillor Michael Weeb the other day, and we found out a little bit more about the want for the use of wider sidewalks, which is fine, but let's start to have a conversation about why we want wider sidewalks. You know, we're a restaurant. We're on the corner. We anchor that corner. It's a great corner. It's on the corner of Kingsway and Main Street where 7th Avenue meet. We want to be part of that community. And it's hard to stick out in the base of a glass building. Like, if there was a Sleep Country Canada there, it might be a little bit different. But, you know, we are a restaurant. We're part of the community. It's where people meet and engage with each other. And this is our vision.
Is it something that you have to, do you have to get the approval of, like, several people to kind of get you guys on board for this? Or is it, like, one person who has to make the final decision? Or is it Councillor Weeb when you're saying that?
Well, Councillor Weeb, it was great to meet with him. He doesn't actually make the final decision on these sort of things. He just kind of liaises on between us and the city. He communicates with us and communicates with the city. There's so many people at the city that don't speak to each other. It's impossible. There's not just one person. I think that, I mean, who knows exactly what goes on there, but I think that what it boils down to is that nobody wants to do the dirty work and look after small business. Or if they see something that they don't know about, they just say no, and that's the end of the story. I mean, trying to get any information out of the city is impossible.
I can't even imagine how frustrating that must be for you guys. Sean, I mean, if you were to touch on this a little bit, did they contact you guys afterwards, like once this posted came out and people started to get really upset and frustrated about it and it started to go a little more viral? Was it them reaching out to you, or did you guys have to reach out back to them?
Yeah, so we didn't reach out to anybody. We were just, it was kind of our last ditch effort, you know, backs against the wall. There's absolutely nothing we can do. You know, we're just trying to reopen. You know, we got staff ready to go, and we just got a no from the city and nothing that we could do to try and help or no glimmer of hope. It was basically just like slap in the face. And so we talked about it and we're like, what can we do? And so we're like, let's just do a social media post and maybe they'll get wind of it, or maybe someone will come out of there that could help us pro bono, or someone that is an expert will come through and help us. We had no idea the shitstorm that we started, to be honest, was going to happen. Literally, like, we posted it like as we're getting ready for service. And, you know, we thought we'd, you know, it was going to get some play on the Instagram and, you know, that we'd get lots of DMs and stuff. But literally within half an hour, we were watching it and it was going crazy on Twitter and stuff. Within half an hour, the phone rang and that was Councillor Weeb on the phone. Within half an hour, he wanted to actually meet right then. And I'm like, listen, we're busy trying to run the restaurant here. And we're like as lean as we can be. We're not paying ourselves. We're all voluntarily working right now, still on CERB. And so I'm like, I can't talk to you right now, but, you know, tomorrow's Sunday. I don't know if you guys meet on Sundays, but if you want to meet tomorrow morning before service, cause we are working once again, we're more than happy to meet you. And he met us. It was crazy. We've been trying to get a meeting in face to face with anyone for 2 years. And all of a sudden we got one on a Sunday morning within like 12 hours. It was unbelievable.
What did he say to you?
He's like, hey, so you guys just posted something on the internet. Can we meet? And he's like, I really want to chat with you guys. I actually wanted to chat with you the other night. But, you know, he's running a business too. He's like, I was busy as well. He wants to know who it was who talked to us from the city, because the tone of which that phone call went is what really set us off. And we don't give a shit attitude. So he was like, you know, he actually sounded like he genuinely cared. And so, yeah, he was, he set up a meeting. There was also, you know, some other people from the city that reached out, like Sarah Kirby. She's been great. She's trying to help us as well. So the tone sounded great. And yeah, the next thing you know, we had a meeting at 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
Amazing. And then, so you had a meeting with him, and then all of a sudden he kind of pushed your application forward to back to the city, and that's where they did the whole approval process and all that stuff. Is that kind of?
Well, we don't, like Frankie said, we still don't have a piece of paper. And, you know, he sounded like he had great intentions. One of the first things he said was, you guys are going to have a patio. It will be on Main Street, and it will be on 7th Street, just so we're clear, because, you know, we are, that is what we want, and that's what we're looking for, and we want it long-term, and we were very clear with him on that, and he said, you'll also have long-term approval. Obviously, that's not going to happen overnight, and I don't think we can actually probably formally apply until our temporary one expires, which will be, I believe, October 31st, but he did give us approval verbally on both. He couldn't get it, give it in writing, but you know, we took that in faith of, okay, that is 100% go. Obviously, we don't know. We know it's not going to happen overnight, and we're totally fine with that. But we do hope to get it this week. I also want to say, like, working with him and with Sarah, the other council person, their optimism sounds very good. And their ways that they want to change things that work with the city and their initiatives sound great. Now, I don't know if the whole city is like that. So I think that they sound like they're fighting the good fight. But I know that, well, I don't know, but I've heard that, you know, not everyone in the city is going to have that view. So I hope that their optimism comes through. They told me about another initiative that they're working on. I think that was part of a vote recently where they want to allow restaurants to have like little waiting areas that are licensed that are actually outside. Like, holy cow, you're actually going to be able to walk outside with your beer soon, apparently. That's an initiative they're looking at, and they want to make it maybe like a 1-2 step process and person process to get any kind of permitting done for a small business, you know, and us being the little guys that make it very hard, and we're quite busy and don't have the resources necessarily to hire people to push all our papers through all the time. The way that they want to change and cut all the red tape sounds great. Now, hopefully, you know, they have the power to push this through.
Do you think a lot of this also comes down to it's basically like who has the biggest pockets, who can kind of push those things through, and kind of like if you have the power of a bigger chain, this is usually never an issue for you. But do you think it comes down to stuff like that, or do you think it's just they have a lot on their plate and they just don't really care? Or?
No, I think a lot of it comes down to power. To be honest and fair, we when we were doing our opening, you know, we worked with a gentleman who was also working with our architecture firm and our designers. And he was kind of liaisoned us through putting our papers through. So we dotted all the I's and crossed the T's, so we didn't have any holdups. We didn't apply for our patio when we were opening, because as anyone else that's, you know, opened restaurants that are small restaurants in the city know, if you apply for your patio as well, that could slow your whole process down and you could be open 2 months later because something didn't get approved. So we decided to get the restaurant liquor license, all that stuff done first, and then apply for the patio. Also, we opened in like November, so it wasn't really relevant anyway. But that's the way that it works.
So yeah, we put in our initial application for the build out going back to March 2018. So we did have that conversation at the city to begin with, and you know you can always have that conversation, but you know they'll always say it's going to slow things down. That was around March 2018. So then as soon as we got the permit for our build out, that's when we started to further have the conversation about the patio, which of course we found out after was a little bit more challenging. Of course, we're happy that we didn't try to put that application in to begin with, but that's going back to March, 2018.
And going back to that point too, like, you know, we are quite, we've done a lot of work in the industry, and Frankie's done a lot more openings on the you know, as an owner side of things, and I've done a lot of openings just as an employee and as a consultant. And I know that for the little guy, it's really hard, and you don't have the time or resources to fight these things. And like you said, the big box companies that have, apparently they just have a guy or a girl that with a card that is in with the city, that's literally their job, is they push licensing through for these places. And we don't have those kind of resources or power. So, you know, it's not a level playing field, and it's definitely not fair, and it is very time consuming.
Kind of goes to show you the kind of the, I don't know, what's the word I want to use here, the backhandedness of the city, in the sense that, like, you know, you had to be so desperate that you had to kind of throw your hands up and just say, fuck it, I'm just going to post this and see what we can get from it. And then, you know, a half hour later, you get a response and it's like, okay, is that what I need? Is that what every little guy needs to do now?
That was a very last resort. I mean, we thought about doing that a while back. You don't want to. It sucks to have to do that, but yeah, that's the last resort. You don't really want to be throw people under the bus like that.
No, I don't think you guys were intentionally trying to do that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But you know, if it means that change can happen, and not just for us, but for everybody that's in our position, because so many people are, that's great. Let's move forward. Let's figure this out. But we need action now.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, you know, I mean, as anybody can attest, the restaurants, you know, I mean, you guys have gone through a tough time here the last couple of months, and every restaurant has. And, you know, that patio, those seats, that's revenue that you need to fill up, since you're only going to be able to open up 50% capacity anyways. And, you know, and takeout and delivery can only account for so much revenue. And, you know, if anybody's ever been to your restaurant, I mean, like, you guys, that's a wide sidewalk. I mean, your patio is not going to take up.
You know, so as well, like with the city, they supplied us with a template where you go online on the City of Vancouver website, and it's a mapper where you click on your address of the building, and then there's a line around what's private and what's public property. Based on that, actually, that sidewalk is public property. So they actually gave me a tool to apply, which is wrong. Going back to the sidewalk, it's super wide. It's crazy. And you know, they want to have wider sidewalks, but if you go look down our sidewalk, there's three bike racks right in the middle further down. So if you want wider sidewalks and there's three bikes parked there, you still have to move to go around the bike racks. So, you know, I think that there's an intention at the city going back. Probably the building permit for this development went back to 2013 or 14. And, you know, it's fair to say that you want to have wider sidewalks. This is a whole other issue about what we need right now. This is just looking at the overall picture. But why? Why do you, what is the reason for wider sidewalks? I think they're great. But, you know, if on the corner there's a business that's functioning as a restaurant that can add to the community, where you can have foliage and other bike racks and, you know, places for people's dogs to drink water, whatever it is, you know, everything makes it look beautiful. It makes it look more inviting. I think they have a larger plan for that area as well. So there's going to be a crosswalk across the street to a new development that's going on the other side of Main Street at 7th, where there's a park. There has been talk about a tram coming up that way. That's where Vancouver's original trolley system went. So there is vision, but just because someone stamped a paper back in 2013 in an office saying we need wider sidewalks, it doesn't mean that we can't have the conversation about what that means today or how that goes into the future. Because, you know, things in an office on a computer, when you stamp them, it doesn't always make perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, exactly. I mean, and I remember when I worked at Chill Winston, I mean, my old boss, Jordan Stewart, and his partner, Stanley Buckley, I remember him explaining to me, like, the hell that they had to go through to get that patio built that basically makes Gastown. Which local now carries. And it's like that patio, he said it was like such a struggle for them to kind of see the vision of what he was trying to do there. And, you know, afterwards,
that patio is way too big, man.
But people love it.
Is it really? I mean, I think it's for whatever you think about that place, but I think it's great. People are outside, but everyone has their own opinion. I think everybody should be able to, right now, I mean, this is another story, but right now, everybody should be forced outside as much as possible. But overall, yeah, we need more places for people to be outside.
And people love that patio. Like, I worked there for 3 years, and that patio prints money. And it looks beautiful, and it looks great in Gastown, and it really is inviting, and people love it. And it feels very European and kind of something you don't see very many patios like that in the city. And, you know, and like, if we can, like you said, exactly, you know, with the coronavirus, I mean, one of the things we've all been learning is that it's pretty hard to catch it when you're outside. And if we can force people outside more, I mean, that's a great thing, right?
So. Yeah.
There's also the fact that there is COVID-19 right now. We all just shut down for 3 months. Some restaurants already have closed for good. Like, give everybody whatever the hell they can do right now, as long as they are following rules. Like, if you have a table and a chair and you can put it outside and you can generate revenue and you can bring your staff back, like, give it to them. Give everybody a patio. Just give us some basic rules. On private or public property, who cares? Make it happen, because everyone needs to do whatever they can to survive. And we want to pull people off the CERB, bring them back to work, generate revenue. You know, like, I don't understand how hard it is. Just make it happen. Weeks to take care of something that just because it's on private property when we're drowning, like, make it happen. The end of the story. It should be like, shouldn't even be a question.
So, Sean, you mentioned that it was about a two-year process. Like, what do you think was the factor that got this moving so fastly after that post? I'm so curious to know that, because it just seems like such a, like you said, Sean, a bureaucratic process. And then all of a sudden, within days, it's happened.
Well, I think the city was also kind of under fire over the Parks Board decision that got turned down.
Right.
You know, also people are really tense right now. There's the world's on fire. There's a lot of shit going on and people are angry. And when something simple like this, I think it was the last straw. And also, you know, there's a lot of restaurateurs. Like, I haven't even got back to all my emails and text messages yet from people being like, way to go. Thank you very much. Finally, someone spoke up. Mm. And no one has spoke up before, us included. We're all a little, you know, no one wants to be that person because, you know, if we ever do something in the future, you know, and all of a sudden our piece of paper goes to the bottom of the pile because we feel like, you know, we're on the bad list of the city. We don't want that. And, you know, maybe everyone should have spoke up in the past. And also no one had, you know, until now, social media is very prevalent, but not as much. You might have said something, but everyone might not have heard it. And this one, everybody heard it and everyone's fed up. And all of a sudden it just went crazy.
Did you get any other restaurateurs emailing you, asking you kind of for advice or anything like this and kind of how to proceed as well?
Yeah, definitely. I'm not going to name names. There's actually two new emails I got this morning that I'm going to reply to shortly and maybe advise them to contact maybe the city councilors that are helping us. But 100%, there's been multiple people who have reached out that are asking for advice or just saying, thank you, we're going to reapply or, you know, it's giving people hope.
So at the end of the day, would you say a lot of the issues comes down to sometimes city has kind of things in mind that have been set up in the past that they kind of don't want to step on. And then also a lot of it's also the fight between private property and city property. Is that usually kind of what you guys are learning from the situation?
I think that this private versus public property is kind of I don't think that's a major issue for a lot of people, but certainly, when something's stamped at the city and you go to talk to somebody, they don't know what they're talking about. So they'll push it on to somebody else and they don't know what they're talking about, or they don't want to touch it, or they're too scared to touch it. Who knows exactly? You know how many times I've been to the city as well, or you have an appointment, you want to talk to somebody and it's at 10 a.m. or they're at lunch. You're like, what? You go back another day, 3 o'clock, they're at lunch. So it's just overall super challenging.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny. We had Andrew Morrison on the podcast yesterday and we were talking about a lot of this stuff. And one of the things I brought up was what you brought up just now, Sean, was the city council motion last week where they decided to not pass where people can drink in parks and stuff like this, which I think is ridiculous. But what I thought was really interesting about that, and to touch on what you're saying here, Frankie, is the fact that our city mayor, Mayor Kennedy, decided to take the day off on the day of the vote, which I thought was just totally brutal. I was like, really, dude? I was like, who did you get paid off?
Yeah, maybe we're drinking in the park because everyone else is anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's my thing. Like, this Dr. Patricia Daly was the person who came in on May 27th to have this meeting with all the counselors and kind of advise them and saying that people are drinking more. We shouldn't encourage all this stuff. And I'm like, first off, people are stressed out. People can't go anywhere and it's better for them to be outside than inside. And secondly, people are going to be drinking at parks and beaches anyways. So, you know, the fact that you think that they're not doing that is ridiculous. And also, you know, we're adults. Stop treating us like children.
Well, I think the reason why we rioted twice on Stanley Cup playoffs is because we have all these cultural rules in place where you don't give people responsibility. And then when you have a little bit of fun, everything goes pear-shaped. That's my take on that. Just relax. Everyone just needs to relax. It's fine. We're all adults.
Exactly.
I feel like we're in Vancouver. We're kind of like that kid that went to private school their whole life. And then all of a sudden they like go to college in the Midwest and it's like a big party because they're so used to rules. And all of a sudden they're like, holy cow, I have freedom. And all of a sudden, you know, they're going crazy. And, you know, people, when you compare us to like cities in Europe, and you tell people about the way cities in Europe are, and then the response is, well, that's ingrained in their system and it's always been that way. That's why it's not a problem. It's like, well, if you never even try and ingrain it into our system and then you introduce something, maybe it will be a problem. I've seen that they're trying to like do it and have designated parks where you can drink. And I think that's going to be a problem too, because if you put it into 4 parks where you can drink in Vancouver, those places are just going to turn into parties and there's not going to be families going there. and you're just going to have issues. If you just put out some really hardcore ground rules and just allow drinking in parks, I think it'll work. You know, maybe you just have certain hours, you don't allow hard liquor, you don't allow littering or public urination, and you make the fines really steep. And then I think people also police themselves. If you go to the parks now, they kind of are. But if you just say, okay, you can drink at Kids Beach, you know, you can drink at Dude Chilling Park, and you make two other places, those are just going to turn into parties. And I don't necessarily know if that's going
to
work.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I know that the Parks Board is about to have a vote, I think, someone on the council there wants to have a vote soon. But I think the head of the Parks Board is just like pumping the brakes. He's just like clearly does not want to push this through. And, you know, he wants more assessment and all these things. I'm like, dude, that's just like, you know, we need to, people have been wanting this for a long, long time. And I think you should, you know, think of the public good here as well, you know. And, you know, if people want to go drink at Kids Beach or if they want to drink at Third Beach, you know, it shouldn't be this big issue. So, because people are doing it anyways. How have you guys been doing otherwise? I mean, how has, because I haven't talked to you both in a while, and I'm just kind of curious, how was, as good as it's been, how's life been in the last couple of months for you guys?
Overall, you know what? Not bad. Pretty good. I mean, the last few months we've learned a lot, and we can get through this. Our landlord's been super supportive. You know, all our lenders have kind of worked with us a little bit, and we've been doing the takeaway twice a week before opening wine, which off the shelf. That's really cool that we're allowed to do that. Hopefully we get that 20% soon, because that's huge. But we're also just learning a lot about other parts of our business that we might be able to apply to in the future that we didn't have time to in the past. So if there's anything that we can take from this, and just learning loads, and just being creative. Working with Shauna and Chef on this, Justin, it's been amazing. So hopefully we can apply some things that we learned to future business. And that's that.
I think the last couple of months in that sense have been really cool. It's literally been, for the most of it, it was just Justin, Frankie, and myself. That's the three partners, you know, voluntarily working. And instead of just fully closing, we kept engaged with our customers and offered our takeaway without doing like cooked food or anything of that sort. We started doing prepared food that people could finish at home, and we sold a lot of other goods like cheese and conservas and wine. And then, you know, turning it into a market and kind of opening, it's been, yeah, we've learned a lot. And we've learned that creating other sources of revenue, you know, have kept us afloat, but also in the future, it's pretty fascinating to see how it's worked. Like our market it's pretty rad. I haven't seen something that it's so on brand too. Like we literally didn't do anything to start this market other than buy some shelves and make it look really cool. And, you know, if we hadn't been to Spain the amount of times we have, we wouldn't have known that these sort of places existed. So it was an easy thing for us to do. And literally we just pulled everything from the back storage room and put it onto the shelves and made it look good. But it was completely on brand, and people were so stoked, because anything from Spain, you know, the quality is going to be there. And most of the stuff they do the branding very well. So in the room, it just looks really, really cool. And it's a really fun experience. And holy cow, you can, you know, have a glass of wine. You can buy a bottle of that and take it out the door. It sounds crazy to be able to do that in BC, but now you're allowed to. So hopefully that keeps up.
I mean, that's definitely been something I'm kind of a running theme I've been noticing, having talked with Paul and Romano on the episode before that, and, you know, James and Tobias and Carrie. And it's, you know, if COVID, if there's a silver lining with COVID, it's forced, you know, restaurateurs that are already pretty creative and innovative to find new sources of revenue and find new streams to generate, you know, stay alive and keep money coming in. And, you know, do you think you guys are going to keep a lot of this going once you guys fully get back up and going?
Yeah, no, for sure. There's definitely some things. Like we might change the hours up a bit. We might open earlier some days. We'll definitely have the market. We've lost the table to create that market, but we're seeing that a lot of people, when you're sitting beside those shelves, they're having some sardines or they're having some Marconas, and they're like, oh God, I need to take this home. So that's been great, because people are doing just that. And it's really cool, because you get to talk more about the products, and it's definitely something we'll be applying to our business in the future. For
sure. So you're telling me right now that I can come in and pick up some delicious sherry? Is that what you're trying to tell me right now?
Yep. That's exactly what we're saying.
And we're going to upsell you onto some Marconas and perhaps some truffle manchego with that. I think it's a good idea.
Manchego's my favorite cheese, so I'm all about
it. Yeah, there you go. That's my new retail voice.
Oh, yeah? You're getting prepared. I'm doing a cocktail event for some friends here on Thursday, and I'm thinking about making a cocktail with some sherry, so maybe I'll stop by today or tomorrow. Well, that's good. And otherwise, how's life for you guys at home and family and friends? Have you guys been able to?
Pretty good. I've got my wife was looking at going back to work just before this all went down. So we have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, both boys at home. But, the first month spending a lot of time at home is fantastic, actually, in some ways. And we've been cooking every day, so I think I've been eating the best I have in my life since I left my parents' house when I was 18. So, making socks from scratch and going through, 6 to 8 liters a week. So you can only imagine.
Nice.
It's been great.
Yeah, I know. I have a friend, my buddy Grant Cini. His daughter's 10 months now. And he was saying one of the silver linings of this whole thing is he's home. So he gets to spend a lot more time with her. So, you've got children. I think that's definitely a positive. And Sean, how have you been?
Yeah, it's been great as well. I did like the fact once we started just being at the restaurant 2 days a week because it did start to go a little stir crazy. But I definitely got to be outdoors a lot more. And I live in North Vancouver now, so it was a good place to be when it was, we're on not full quarantine mode, but we weren't able to go anywhere. It was really nice to go on big walks every day. My dog was pretty stoked. She's starting to get mad at me now that I'm not around as much, but it was a great time. And yeah, there's lots of cooking going on. I drank a lot of really good craft beer, and also I got back to reading quite a bit, and I've kept a log of a lot of dishes and drinks and different wines and things like that I had or read about that now when we come back I've got a lot of ideas. So I had a lot of time to kind of focus on being outdoors and doing stuff like that, but also getting ready when we're back to
craft beer. That's Mickey's wheelhouse. So what have you been drinking?
House of Funk is probably my favorite brewery right now. I know them pretty well since they opened, and they've supported the restaurant a lot, and it's in North End, so it's close to home, and it's a great place to hang out. But at the same time, their beer, considering they've only been open for a short period of time, they're crushing it. So huge fans of them. Container Brewing is also fairly new, and I love everything that they do, and they're awesome people. And then Main Street and Brass Neck are our two neighbors, so anytime I was at the shop, I would usually pop down and grab a 4-pack from one of them. Once again, great people. And yeah, you couldn't ask for better neighbors if you like craft beer. If anyone knows Frankie and I, and you guys have seen us at Brass Neck a couple times, I think we're that's where we go for our little cheeky beers after pre-shift. Yeah. It's just
not a place to go to. So Mickey, have you had House of Funk?
Yeah, actually, my co-host for the other podcast, Tristan, was talking about House of Funk the other day. But I haven't had anything from House of Funk yet. I'm very excited to try. And obviously, Container. We featured a beer on our show from Container World. One of their lagers, actually. It's like a hot lager.
They're doing awesome stuff. And House of Funk, I haven't had it yet, but apparently on the weekends, they're doing beer slushies.
Blowing up. Oh, yeah.
I don't even know how that works, but apparently
well, we used to call those icebergs. You put a little margarita lime slush in the top of a lager. Yeah, there you go.
I've been hearing a lot of good things about containers. Yeah, I heard containers kind of like the up and coming brewery in the lower mainland. Am I correct on that one?
I think so. The tasting room is small, but it's great. They've got a great bunch of staff working there. And their branding is phenomenal. Like even just the 4-packs. They've got all these little things that you can read on it. There's little ways that you can open them to read other little things. It's just one of those things that is just, there's a lot of thought that went into it. But you can tell it, and it's not like any other breweries. So they're quite unique in what they do. And I just think they kind of stay on brand to what Container is. Same with House of Funk, same thing.
You guys have anything you guys want to maybe say to anybody out there who's obviously was in your similar situation, anything like that? Do you guys,
If anyone wants to reach out to us, please do. info@comotaparia.com or our emails are a little bit long, but yeah, if you email info, you should be able to get through to us. We'll definitely get back to you when we can. We're all in this together. That's kind of the phrase right now, but yeah, no, we all want to help each other, and we gotta stick together. These are dire times, and you know, we need to get our point across, and we need to open. We need to get back to work. We're ready.
You could also DM us on Instagram. That's an easy way to communicate with us as well. But yeah, as Frankie said, we all do need to stick together. And yeah, like any and the two counselors that have been talking with us a lot, that's Mike Wiebe and Sarah Kirby Young. They both seem like they're on board and they really want to help. So you could reach out with them or to me, and I could pass on their contact info. Hopefully they are fighting the good fight. And they are trying to do things to change the city. So let's hope that we get that permit in hand ASAP. Also, yeah, just so anyone does know, we will be taking the rest of this week off. Even if we got the permit, it does take time. You can't just, you know, switch the lights on right away. We do have to prep and get all the food in, and we have to get all our staff back. We will have to retrain. We're all going to be running around like dummies for the first couple of services, I'm sure. So, you know, we got to, you know, get right in there. And but at the same time, we have to do it properly. And we also have to really take in note with the health restrictions, as we have been. But now that we're running, we'll be running more like old Como. We're not quite there yet. We will be having to implement a lot of things. So,
yeah, so our intention was that this week we would be open on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 2 p.m. to 9. That we were going to add like 4 to 5 dishes in the hot kitchen. We were going to fire up the hood vent, get that going, and then kind of progress every week into something different, like ultimately going back to old Como, but just slowly building and building over time. Hopefully we're back at 100%. I don't know when that's going to happen. That's a big concern. you know, hopefully in the future, we all get back together at 100% and people are able to hug each other again and raise a glass. But,
I want one of those 50-50 martinis.
You're right. So good.
I mean, I'm excited to see you guys too, but I mean, you know, that's kind of where I'm really excited. I'm really excited that things are going to be turning your way soon here, and we're going to be able to sit outside at Como on that beautiful street there with that brand new building, and hopefully you can all stare at Brassneck and dream about going in there and having a beer as well. Look forward to anybody out there listening. As Frankie and Sean have said here, if you guys need any assistance or want to kind of, you know, DM them, and do make sure you head out and check out Como next week. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I hope you guys stay safe. Try not to get wet today because I know it's raining. It's kind of gross out. But hopefully we'll see you soon, and you both have a great afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.